Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning and welcome to The River Trip, your monthly show brought to you by Dolores River Boating Advocates. I'm your host, Sam Carter. Thanks for joining us today. This is Thursday, October 8th. Our guest today on the show is going to be Jeff Adams. Jeff has conducted several archaeological surveys along the main Salmon River in Idaho over the past several years, and he's going to tell us about these surveys and the adventures he has had in getting to these stretches of the river. First, this news. Right here in River City, the Dolores River has received a state-level push of support. The Colorado Water Conservation Board voted in September to seek an in-stream flow water right for the Dolores River between the San Miguel and Dolores Rivers confluence and the town of Gateway. This water right will keep a minimum of 900 CFS each spring and 100 CFS each winter in the Dolores River. The main purpose of these water levels is to protect the struggling native fish species in the river, and the flow will support whitewater boating on this stretch of river as well. There are a few more steps in this process before the water right is secured. A dam slated for the Bear River in Idaho is facing a flood of resistance. Upon review of the opposition to this proposed dam, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has recommended that a license for this project not be issued. The proposed dam would stand 109 feet tall and create a 4.5-mile-long reservoir covering up a well-used recreational stretch of river. The Truckee River in Nevada will be provided some cleanup. A new program will employ residents of a Reno homeless shelter to clean up the river. This program will pay employees $10 an hour and keep these folks busy 3 days a week for 18 weeks. In addition to cleaning up a riverway, this program will work to develop employability skills among the employees with the intention of helping these folks obtain and maintain long-term jobs down the road. Flows in the Dolores River at the town of Dolores have peaked above 200 CFS this week and are at 121 this morning. Flows below McPhee Dam into the lower Dolores River are at 39.5 CFS. Our guest today is Jeff Adams. Jeff is the proprietor of Intermountain West Consulting based in Dolores. Interior West is an archaeology firm working throughout the Intermountain West and the upper Midwest. Jeff has completed several archaeological surveys along the main Salmon River in Idaho. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Can you tell us, give us a brief description of the Idaho of the Salmon River in Idaho, what it looks like, the terrain, and where it's located?
Yeah, the Salmon is one of the last major free-flowing rivers in the West. It flows from east to west across central Idaho, which is characterized by some pretty rugged terrain. The canyon is as deep as the Grand Canyon in its deepest point, and once you're down in there, it's pretty remote country.
And so you're doing archaeology surveys up there. What kind of archaeological sites are you working with?
Well, there's a wide range of sites that we're working with. We're revisiting sites that are known already to be there, and some of them are 12,000-13,000 years old, and some of them are real recent historic sites. So a lot of Native American sites, villages, campsites, artifact scatters, that kind of thing. Historic sites include mines and homesteads and, all kinds of different recent historic uses down there.
So there's some description there of these sites. Can you give us some more detail about what you're finding in these sites, kind of maybe some of the tools or the relics, the effects?
Yeah, the most common types of tools you find in the Salmon or in those riverine environments in the Northwest are expedient tools, or tools that are picked up, made quickly, and used briefly for processing marine resources, fish and mussel shells and those types of things, We also find more formal tools like arrowheads and other scraping tools and that kind of thing. And then historic stuff. You could imagine you'd find all kinds of old items related to mining and homesteading and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So maybe a two-part question here. You said this survey, some of these areas have been surveyed a bit before. So is there some history that you know? Are there some things you know about these sites and these people from other readings you've done? And then from the work you've done, what have you come to know about these people?
Yeah, there's a large body of literature, you know, about the Salmon River and the Salmon River history. Lots of archaeologists have come before us and, you know, studied sites down there. And there's researchers that are actively studying big sites in the region, not necessarily in the canyon, but along the river elsewhere. The first archaeology trips down there were in the 50s. In 1956, the Army Corps did a survey for a reservoir project that never came to fruition called the Crevice Reservoir. So a lot of the bigger archaeological sites were identified in the 50s, you know, more than 50 years ago. In the 70s, while they were developing, legislation for the Wilderness Act and the Wild and Scenic River Act, there were more surveys done then and identified a lot more sites. So, you know, all of the site, the area, the river corridor has been studied extensively. And, we have a pretty good body of knowledge about, you know, what Native Americans were doing down there. They were often wintering down there, harvesting the fish. You know, the fishery is the most important aspect of the river still today. Economically, the fishery is what, you know, what draws people into the canyon.
And so if this work has been done to some level in the past, why are you there now doing this work?
Well, you know, the Forest Service manages these sites. So there's all of these known sites in the canyon and along the riverbanks and within the Wild and Scenic River Corridor. And a lot of them haven't been revisited since the 70s. So, you know, 40 years ago and maybe even longer, some of the sites we visited hadn't been, you know, revisited since 1956. And so the Forest Service, the Nez Perce National Forest is who we're working for specifically, they are obligated to manage these sites and these resources because they're non-renewable, and some of them are significant or important sites that, you know, need to be paid attention to. So in combination with us as contractors and the Forest Service themselves, they've been revisiting sites along the river for the last 10 years roughly. And basically at this point, that part of the project is complete. They've revisited every known site along the main salmon, the Wild and Scenic Corridor, to update the documentation, evaluate the significance or the importance of these sites, and to develop management plans for the future.
Folks, this is The River Trip. I'm your host, Sam Carter. We're talking with Jeff Adams about archaeology in Idaho on the Salmon River. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for more conversation. Stick with us. Welcome back, folks. This is The River Trip here on KSJD Thursday morning. I'm your host, Sam Carter, sitting here talking with Jeff Adams in the studio about his archaeology trips and surveys up in Idaho along the main Salmon River. Jeff, the folks who lived in these villages, can you talk about their relationship to the river? What do you know about their relationship? Did they fish? You'd mentioned some fish in the diet. Did they build boats and travel up and down the river? What do you know about their relationship with the river?
Well, the village sites that we've seen down there are relatively recent in the archaeological record, and they're thought to be winter villages. People are drawn in there in the fall with the steelhead and the salmon runs, and would build these seasonal villages and live there and wait until the spring run. So obviously the people that are living there are pretty dependent on the fishery and the freshwater marine resources. The Nez Perce Indians who had lived there historically when white folks came into the area, 70% of their diet was made up of freshwater marine resources and, you know, from the Clearwater Basin and the Salmon River Basin. Mm-hmm. So these folks were definitely targeting the big runs of salmon and steelhead and other freshwater marine resources.
And then when they weren't there in the winter and that fall, spring, winter season, were they migrating around in the summer?
Yeah, these, you know, folks were seasonally nomadic, you could say, you know, and again, this is in the like last 1500 years that we see these village sites. So before that, folks probably came into the canyon and maybe wintered there and camped, but they weren't building, you know, structures, small homes and in village, you know, in a village setting. They were just moving up and down the riverbanks. Off season, yeah, they would migrate around the mountains, go out to the plains and harvest camas and hunt and, you know, gather wild foods elsewhere.
What's camas?
Camas is a root that was a real staple for the Shoshone Indians and the Nez Perce Indians. It's a root that grows out in the prairie country.
Have you tried it?
I have not tried the camas.
Yeah. Okay. So here in the Four Corners, we have lots of archaeology. It's kind of a popular thing. I imagine some folks are proud of it. Can you draw any comparisons between archaeology here in the Four Corners and archaeology in Idaho?
Yeah, you can, you know, and like you can all over North America, Central America. About 1,500 years ago, maybe even 2,000 years ago, we see the formation of village sites. We see semi-sedentary behavior in the archaeological record. And for whatever reasons, you know, this happens on a pretty large scale, continental scale. And basically, populations were intensifying their resource extraction. So here in the Four Corners, people started to grow. 1,500 years ago, we would call that the early Pueblo I period. And people were growing corn and squash and beans, and we all know the story about that. Well, in the Northwest, in the rivers and the great rivers and the great fisheries there, people started to settle down into these semi-sedentary villages and really harvest these resources intensively, drying fish and, you know, smoking it and storing it up, just like, you know, same kind of pattern that we see here in the Southwest.
And here in the Southwest, the strong correlations have been made about the movement of people away from this area, specifically kind of here in Colorado, New Mexico area, because of drought. Any thoughts on the people in Idaho? Are they still in these valleys? Have they moved on? Where? Why?
Well, you know, most native populations are now living on reservations. The Nez Perce Indians live on a reservation north of the Salmon on the middle fork of the Clearwater River, and the Shoshones, who historically use the upper Salmon, live on Fort Washakie Reservation in Wyoming. There's really no evidence that drought affected these people. The fisheries would have been affected by a number of things, you know, wildfires and other natural, yeah, probably wildfires would have a big impact on a fishery. That could cause, you know, people to not winter in there. So there may have been periods of time when these village sites were not used. But, you know, the Nez Perce were still known to use the Salmon River and its resources historically. They didn't move out of the area until, you know, conflict with the whites, once the whites settled the area and the army moved in, you know, that's when the natives stopped really using those resources.
Seems like a big trend. Can you tell us maybe some more modern things about the excitement of your trips? So you go up and you access this country by your boat, by your whitewater raft. Peak flows are 129,000 CFS, I think is what I saw, not personally, but on the web. Can you describe when you're going, what time of year you're going, and what the river conditions are like when you go up?
Yeah, I've done four trips now professionally, you know, for these archaeology projects. We did one in the fall, and it was that was probably the most stable and consistent weather, cool and rainy and nice, you know, low flows. But we've done three trips in the spring, and we have seen some some floodwaters in April. We're always trying to dodge the flood, but also not be up there when it's still snowing. So it's a little tricky in the spring. There's unpredictable weather and unpredictable flows. For example, a couple years ago, we were working there, and we were base camped at a place called the Bluebird Hole, and the temperatures rose into the 80s, and we were hiking away from our camp every day to go work on these archaeology sites, and the river came up literally 6 feet on the bank in 3 days, and you know we were really worried about our equipment all day while we're hiking around, and then we had to float out, and we floated 28 miles of river in about 3.5 hours on about 40,000 CFS.
And just to be clear, that's without motors.
That is without motors. Yes. Yeah. No motors on our boats.
Yeah. Real quick, we're going to run out of time. What kind of wildlife have you seen up there?
Bears, mountain lions, wolves, lots of bighorn sheep, deer, steelhead trout, beautiful things. Dippers, a common little bird you see. Bald eagles and golden eagles are kind of an everyday sighting up there. So wildlife is spectacular. The scenery is amazing. It's a beautiful place. The water, the rapids and the white water of the Northwest is something to see. I'd encourage everybody to go run a river in the Northwest. It's pretty spectacular.
Are you going back for more trips, more archaeology trips?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like I said, we've completed our contracts, but we're I'm in the process of working out a new arrangement with the Forest Service to continue working annually on these sites and revisiting them, and I'm looking to actually develop some research projects in the future as well.
Great. Well, if you need on the river news reporting, give us a call. Hey, folks out there. Well, Jeff, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey,
so
thanks,
much.
Sam. Appreciate it.
And out there in Radio Land, thanks for joining us today. Next month, we're gonna start a 2-part show about the toxic release of the mine waste into the Animas River. So join us for that. That's gonna be great. Today's show has been produced by Tom Reoter, who actually lives inside your radio. Do take time to enjoy your local rivers this month, and go Cardinals.